there was a cartoon that had three fish. One was a little fish about to be swallowed by a middle fish. And then there was a big giant fish about to be swallow the middle fish. The little fish says in this cartoon, life is terrible. The middle fish says, it's not so bad. And the big fish is saying, life is great. So people have very different experiences. If you take, for instance, in this culture, minorities that grow up in certain areas in the culture, they have a completely different set of experience of America. If you grow up, for instance, in Harlem or in East Oakland or in the barrio down in Los Angeles, you will have a very different experience of America than if you grew up in Los Gatos or in the Oakland Hills. If you went to a public school, you will have a very different experience of America than if you went to a private school. If you went to a state university, you will have a different experience of America than if you went to Yale or Harvard. So we're dealing with many, many different experiences of the world when we look at people. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when he looked at people, he saw who he was looking at. Mus'ab ibn Umair, who actually was sent to Medina to, in a sense, prepare Medina for the coming of the Prophet ﷺ, learned about everybody in that city. When the Prophet ﷺ came, he sat next to him, and when people would come into his majlis, he would whisper into his ear, this is so-and-so, he's got this position, and he would inform the Prophet of who this man was, because the Prophet ﷺ did not talk to the Sayyid of a people, the nobleman of a person, in the way that he talked to another person. And this is not that he treated people differently. But he said, "Umirtu an unazzira an-nas manazilahum." I was commanded to observe the protocols of people. And every people have a protocol. So when you go into, for instance, a judge, contempt of court in a judge, you see, being held in contempt, is not the same as if you're in a gathering of a group of people and you start raising your voice because you want to make a point. In a court, you cannot raise your voice like that because the judge will not tolerate it. Why? Because he represents something. And if you don't respect what he represents, then he will fine you, he'll hold you in contempt of court, he'll have you arrested if he has to. And that is, every society has these protocols. And if they're not understood and observed, then you're doing a misjustice to the people that you're dealing with. Some of them are fine, Islam accepts them, and other ones that if people became Muslims, then they would throw them out the window. Because not everything is appropriate, but those things that become part of a culture are understood by those people to have a certain import. And if they're not honored by other people, they see it as a disrespect. And that's why a stranger is often excused for certain things. When I was in West Africa, one of the things that I did not know is that if you're married to somebody's daughter, you never eat or drink in the presence of their parents, which is actually a jahili. It was a pre-Islamic tradition, but the Arabs of West Africa still have that tradition. And I was on a journey once with a man, and we were going to the house of his father-in-law. He said to me, I'm really thirsty. And I agreed. And when we got into the house, his father-in-law was there, and then they brought some milk, and I handed it to him. And he said, no, I don't want any. I'm not thirsty. I said, well, you just told me you were thirsty. And he said, no, 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 I'm not thirsty. I said, Bismillah, just drink. You know, he said, no, no, no. And then I heard the women in the back giggling. There was women in the back that started giggling, and I didn't know what was going on. So I just took it and I drank it. And he explained to me later, you know, in our culture, we don't do this. So that was a breach of adab or courtesy in that culture that I was not taken to account for. But had he taken that, it would have been considered that he was being rude and disrespectful. There's people that think that there's immigrants that come to this country that think that Americans have no traditions, that they have no culture, that they have no civilization, and they're wrong. They're simply wrong. There are many levels of society in America, and you might have been introduced into one or two or three, but this culture has many levels. You can get into the most rarefied circles, and there's a completely different set of protocol than you will find in, say, the more popular culture, which can obviously be very crude. And popular culture in most civilizations has been crude. I mean, it's a testimony to faith-based cultures that often the popular culture is not a crude culture. It's an indication that real virtue and values have permeated a society so that people are living at a certain level. So in dealing, when we look at individuals, we have to look at all those backgrounds. There are, for instance, I have been in Saudi Arabia in houses where the brother of someone who is married to a woman has never seen his brother's wife's face because it would be considered a breach of courtesy. And that's in the eastern province. And I've been in those houses and I've never seen any of the women. I've been in Hijazi houses where the women are dressed like American women and they view no shame or no, there's nothing wrong with sitting as far as they're concerned. And if you actually told them that something was wrong, they would be surprised because they weren't even raised like that. And I once was in having dinner and there was some Saudi people there. And I said, you know, in Saudi Arabia, I've always eaten on the floor. And this person said to me, do people eat on the floor in Saudi Arabia? And she grew up her entire life in Saudi Arabia. And she was not joking, but she had been in a certain society that simply, that was what the Bedouin did. And she viewed it that those are Bedouin people. I said, no, city people. City people that eat on the floor? And there are people in this country that you will find the same. They would be shocked to find out certain types of behavior in certain areas. So this is something very interesting about all of these multiple levels of existence that are happening on the same planet at the same time. And so, therefore, in speaking to people, you have to recognize, you have to determine what type of background, educational background. You have to determine ethnic background. The Prophet ﷺ was concerned about tribes, about knowing which tribe the person came from. If he was a Kelbi or a Harbi, it was different in Arabia than being from the Hawazim or from the Quraysh or from Bani Tamim. And that is true in every culture. You will always have those demarcations. It's part of human nature. So, in looking at how we're dealing with da'wah in terms of Muslims and inviting Muslims back to Islam, we have to understand that there are many, many people that have been so distanced from Islam that you cannot expect them. If you meet a woman now in America who grew up, for instance, in a house, she might be an Afghani or a Pakistani or an Egyptian woman or Palestinian, but she's grown up in a very secular house, but she knows she's Muslim. And if you treat her as if, why aren't you wearing a hijab? You know, why don't you cover your hair? Don't you know that's haram? There's a man that came to the Prophet of Allah, a Muslim, and gave him as a gift, this is in Sahih Muslim, gave him as a gift a bottle of wine. That was his present to the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ said, أَوَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ حَرَّمَ الْخَمَرَ. Didn't you know that Allah prohibited wine? He said, لَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. I didn't know that. And then he whispered to the man who came with him, his servant. And he said, what did you just tell him? He said, I told him to go sell it. And the Prophet ﷺ said, الَّذِي حَرَّمَ شَرْبُهُ قَدْ حَرَّمَ بَيْعَهُ. The one that prohibited its drinking also prohibited its selling. And he said, oh, in that case, go dump it out. Now, the Prophet ﷺ didn't say to him, what's wrong with you? How dare you bring me a bottle of wine as a gift? I mean, you might invite a very secularized Muslim to your house and he comes with a bottle of wine as a gift. And there's Muslims that would say, "A'udhu billah," you know, go to hell or something, and slam the door on them. That's not what the Prophet ﷺ did. That's not how he treated that person, because he was looking at the level of the person's knowledge and consciousness. Because people are on an evolutionary journey. We believe in evolution in a different way than, for instance, people in this culture associate evolution with moving from lower order creatures to higher order. But the evolution of the soul is something very real. There are people at different levels. The Arabs say that hasanatul abrar sayyatul muqarrabin. The good actions of righteous people are the bad actions of people in the divine presence. Because the evolution is different. So somebody might be a very good Muslim, But he doesn't even know that his actual state. I mean, there are many Muslims that outwardly everything is fine, but there's an inward fiqh and there's an outward fiqh. There are inward rules to the prayer, just like there are. You could do a perfect prayer outwardly, so your fiqh of the zahir is perfect, but your inward fiqh, the khushu' in the prayer, the khashya in the prayer, the tuma'nina in the prayer, the sakina in the prayer, the hudur, the presence of mind in the prayer. You could be thinking about whether the Giants won the game yesterday or today or whenever it is.